Sure. Okay. All right. Good. Anything else as far as announcements that I'm going too fast over? All right. Any prayer requests? I had this morning one of the girls that I work with called to tell me that her nephew was playing ball yesterday, and when he went to slide into first, the ball hit him on the back of the head, and he has a blood clot in his brain. So his name is Jason Malone, if you will think about and pray for Jason. Any other requests?
Michael is with us. We've been praying for him a while. Michael Haywood, and he's got a big thing on his knee, but he's improving. Also, Miss Sally Bohannon has discovered this week that she has leukemia, added to her other problem with her. Might mention that these flowers are from the Mac Williams Hale wedding yesterday.
Okay. All right. Anything else? All right. Why don't we pause for just a moment of silent prayer before we begin our service? Amen. And our call to worship: rejoice in the Lord, you righteous. It is good for the just to sing praises. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all who dwell in the world stand in awe of God. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. Happy the people God has chosen to be his own.
Let's all stand this morning and turn in our hymnals to hymn 554, I'll Fly Away. Let's all fly away this morning.
Sometime morning, when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home from God's celestial shore.
Lord God, we thank you for the hope that your children have of one day flying through the air to meet Jesus when he comes and calls us home. Lord God, we just thank you for that hope that we can live in it. This life is not all that there is, but we do thank you for this life, and we thank you for blessing us throughout it, walking with us, O Lord, upholding us, carrying us when we're not able to walk ourselves. Lord, we have come today to praise You and to give glory to You through our worship. And we pray that Your Spirit would so move in us that each of us could do just that, bring glory to You. And Lord, we know when we do that, we are blessed, and we just thank You for that. We thank You that You've already blessed us in so many ways. And we come now just approaching You as Your Son Jesus taught us to approach You, a perfect way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
If you will now turn in your renew hymnals, hymn 26. It's just a little chorus. We'll probably go through that twice. I think some people will know that.
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word again. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word.
We're at the time in our service where we say our statement of faith, which is the Apostles' Creed. I want to do that together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever world without end. Amen. Amen.
Let's turn in our hymnal now, if you will, please, to hymn 496. He hideth my soul. Let's do the first verse only, then we'll do the first verse of 500.
How wonderful, Savior, is Jesus my Lord. How wonderful, Savior, to me.
Got a ticket coming home. Wish the officer had known what a day today has been. Then I stumbled through the door, dropping junk mail on the floor. When will this day end? But then your letter caught my eye, brought the hope to me in life, 'cause you knew me very well. And I bet you waiting just to tell me, in a little while we'll be with the Father. Can't you see it's mine? In a little while we'll be home forever in a while. We're just here to learn to love him. We'll be home just a little while. Boy, that letter hit the spot, made me think of all I've got and all that waits for me. Guess I've known it all day long. Wonder where my thoughts went wrong. When will my heart believe? Waking halfway through the night, reaching toward the lamp of light, picking up the word I find. Here's another letter to remind me, in a little while we'll be with the Father. the test of our will we walk or will we fall? I can almost see the top of the hill, and I believe it's worth it all. In a little while we'll be with our Father. Can't you see his smile?
Offertory sentence this morning is found in Hebrews 13:15-16, but do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Will the ushers come forward at this time? And Jeff is going to be reading our scripture for us. Jeff.
This morning we read from Acts 16. From Troas we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day on to Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony in the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper in God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, She invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. Once we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owner by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews, and they are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
We didn't read all the lesson because when we printed the lesson, the sermon wasn't completed, and we'd have been here till 9:30, I guess, if I'd have tried to deal with Paul getting out of the city. You can read that passage, and Paul had some problems in getting out of the city, but he took control and demanded justice, I guess. Maybe he had heard Bart Durham's advertisement. I want to talk about this morning the rich woman, wealthy woman she's called, and the slave girl. And somewhere along the way, I thought, maybe God revealed it to me, that I should ask the congregation, or give them an opportunity to ask, what's the point? What's the point of these lessons? And there may be many points. And as I try to share it with you, maybe you can decide what's the point. And then I will make some suggestions along the way. Paul and Silas and Luke. If you want to be a good Bible student, you could notice that it's here that the writer of Acts begins to use the term "we." So it's thought that this is where Luke, the writer, same Luke that wrote the book of Luke, or the Gospel of Luke as we call it, he wrote first about Jesus. He wrote second about Jesus' church, the New Testament church. And he tells us that in the first chapter of Acts. Paul and Silas and Luke, and maybe some other people. Paul and Silas are mentioned. Where was John Mark at this time? You could go back and discover that. They had an exciting time in the town of Philippi. That is, if you can call being beaten and going to jail an exciting time, that would be real exciting, wouldn't it? It would get your attention at least, would it not? Stripped and beaten, flogged and thrown in jail. They had gone to Philippi in response to an invitation that came to Paul in a vision. A dream, if you will. Acts chapter 16, verse 9, tells us that during the night, a vision appeared to Paul. A man from Macedonia stood and urged him, "Come over here to Macedonia and help us." The Macedonian call. If you've been in church all your life, you've heard about this all of your life. That Macedonian call. Come here. A call for a missionary to come and minister to the people there. The word of the Lord. The message of Jesus. Paul believed that this was a message from God. A vision from God. And it was God's way, he believed that it was God's way of calling him and his party to go and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Salvation through him. And live according to his teachings. To preach that gospel in Macedonia. So they went. And you see in this passage, Philippi was a principal city in that area of Macedonia. They went believing that God had called them there. On the Sabbath, they went to find some worshipers of God, or some Jewish people. And there was no synagogue in Philippi. Evidently, there was a small Jewish congregation, a Jewish population. And I remember living in El Dorado, Arkansas, and there had been a Jewish synagogue there, but the population grew small, the Jewish population, and they closed it and I think sold it to the Mennonites or some group. And the Jews in El Dorado would travel a distance. Think to Monroe, Louisiana, for their celebration or their worship. In Philippi, they didn't have Cadillacs to ride in or even Fords. And they would gather down by the riverside. And so Paul knew that it was the custom in a town that didn't have a synagogue for the worshipers of God, the Jewish population, to gather by the riverside. So on the Sabbath, and they would gather on the Sabbath, and on the Sabbath Paul and his party found the place where the Jewish people gathered to pray. And there he found a group of women. And we don't know if it was only women there, but this is a passage that emphasizes one woman in particular, and there was a group of women there, and it seems the only one that we know her name is Lydia. They had gathered together to pray. That one woman, only one is named, a wealthy woman, a merchant, and a worshiper of God. And it points out, what about the rest of them we don't know? But he points out, Luke does, that Lydia listened as Paul preached. And then the passage, I think I'm quoting, "And God opened her heart so that she gave heed to the things that Paul said." Or we might say in our language, God opened her heart to believe the message. It made sense to her. And she trusted that what Paul said was the truth. Or she accepted, we might say, she accepted the message of Paul as being the message from God. That message was, Paul preached over and over, that Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior, coming from God. He's the one mentioned back in Isaiah chapter 53. We don't have that recorded here, but that was his message. He went back to the Old Testament like Jesus had on the road to Emmaus as he explained to those who didn't understand what happened, crucifixion, rumors of an empty tomb and a resurrection and meeting Jesus. Jesus went back to the Old Testament and explained. Or as Philip did last week, he went and explained Isaiah chapter 53 to the Ethiopian eunuch. So Paul, a great Old Testament scholar, Word of God scholar then, we didn't have two different testaments when Paul was living. Paul's writings, or part of them, make up most of the New Testament. It hadn't been written down then. So the Word of God, as they had it, the Old Testament, he explained that Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise of a Savior there. And Lydia and her household trusted in Jesus. They believed the message that Paul preached. They trusted in Jesus. And Lydia and her household, members of her home, were baptized. And Lydia is said to be Europe's first conversion to Christianity. Who was the first woman, if you find this on your final exam to get into heaven, who was the first convert to Christianity in Europe? And you know it now. It was Lydia. I don't know if we'll have such a test there, but in case we do, we don't know what will be there. You know, we're always talking about St. Peter giving us three choices or asking us three questions before we can get in the pearly gates, right, and enter into heaven. So if that happens to be there, you know the answer now. It's Lydia. I'm not saying that question will be asked. I'm just saying in case it is. Lydia was Europe's first convert according to the Acts of the Apostles. Being a new Christian, immediately it says, she opened her house to Paul and Silas and Luke and invited them to use her house as their headquarters. They'd been in town a few days and evidently hadn't found a headquarters yet. Doesn't mention that they had found one, said they'd been in town a few days and she said, come and use my house. You might think there, a woman in that society getting a leadership position in the church. Unusual. Because in Jewish community, the women had very little to do or say. They were not allowed to. Also, you might notice that she was practicing the gift of hospitality. She received the spiritual gift. She had the resources, and she realized that these resources could be used to further the gospel, that others might hear the gospel, that Paul and Silas might have a wealthy person in town who had believed their message. She was an example, but also that they would have a base of operations from which to go from to preach the gospel. So she was practicing the gift of hospitality. God's Spirit gave her this special ability. The special ability not only to have those resources, but to share what she had to help in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, a lot of people have the resources, but they're going to keep the resources. And their goal in life is adding more resources to what resources they ever had. How much is enough for a rich man? Just a little bit more. Always. But this lady had the resources and she was willing to share them. That the gospel of Jesus said others too might believe and be saved and be made ready to fly away when Jesus came back as He promised to do. Romans 12, verse 13, the Apostle Paul says, that Christians should be given to hospitality. The Apostle Peter had said in 1 Peter 4, 9, use hospitality. Use hospitality to each other. Be hospitable to each other. And never grudge it. Or give cheerfully. Somebody said, one of the verses said, God loves a cheerful giver. Paul said that one. Peter put it, never grudge it. You know, you can come and stay here tonight, but I really don't want any guests tonight. That's kind of giving grudgingly, right? Or we'll let you use our house for a base of operation, but we wish you had some other place to go. Did you notice? This might be the point, but did you notice that God sent this missionary team there? Back up a little bit. God sent the missionary team to Philippi. And it says, it points out in particular that God's Spirit enabled Lydia to believe in Jesus. God's Spirit was active in the life of Paul, in the life of Lydia, the preacher, the listener, in the community. Who was the man that called? We never have identified the man that called to Paul in the vision. He just saw a man in a vision, and he went there. He responded. Then we move to the slave girl. Interesting character. She had a spirit that enabled her to give oracles or to tell fortunes or to predict the future. But it was not considered a righteous spirit or a godly spirit. One place it's referred to, one version, is referred to as a demon spirit. Paul and his friends, or the members of his party, were going about the city, meeting other people, probably sharing the gospel with them, just being good citizens of the city or good visitors there, trying to set a good example, whatever else missionaries do during the week or between worship services. And this little girl, she was owned by some people who were gaining money for her telling other people's fortune. You've been to the fair, haven't you? The carnival part of the fair. This little girl would follow Paul and his party, and she would point them out as being servants of God who were telling people how to be saved. And this was troubling to Paul. It was an irritation. You know, someone said one day that every dog has to have his or her flea. Every dog has to have its flea. Right? If you've got an irritation in your life, just realize, if you get rid of that irritation, if you get rid of that flea, another one will come along and bother you. Every dog has to have his flea. This was Paul's flea in Philippi. She was an irritation. She was a burr under the saddle, or whatever else you would use to describe the situation. Now, it seems, what would be wrong with somebody coming along and saying, these men are telling you about how to be saved? But it appears to me, because of Paul's reaction, that she was doing it in a mocking way. Oh, these guys are trying to tell you how to be saved. That she really didn't believe, but she was kind of mocking. And I can deduce that from Paul's reaction. It was so distressing, it was so irritating, that one day he couldn't take it any longer, I guess. And he just cast that demon out. It says, cast out the demon within her in the name of Jesus. Cast it out. The girl had been a moneymaker, we had said, already for her owners. She had been telling fortunes and they were getting the results. Now they were without that income. She couldn't tell fortunes anymore. Paul had taken care of that through Jesus, or Jesus had taken care of that through Paul. So the owners, they were mad. They were going to have to go to work. They couldn't benefit from this girl anymore. So they caused Paul and Silas to be arrested. Doesn't say anything about the rest of the party. Just Paul and Silas were arrested. They were beaten. They were thrown into prison, and they were given harsh treatment. I think one version said that they were thrust or hurled into the prison. But God used this situation for good. That may be the point this morning, that God can take a prison situation, a bad situation, and use it for good, if we'll let Him. So Paul and Silas could have been mad. They could have been beaten on the bars. They could have taken that tin cup and just raking it across there. They could have been screaming and yelling. But no. They were Christian people. And although they were in jail or in prison, they sang and prayed to God. And guess what? The other prisoners were listening. Don't matter where you are if you want to share the gospel. Jail is as good a place as any. Might not be for the sharer, but it's good for those who are being shared with, or having it shared with them. They began to sing and pray. And the other prisoners listened. And then, read the story, there was an earthquake. Prison doors were opened, bonds loosed, and a sleeping jailer was awakened. Now, was he supposed to stay awake all night? Or was it his job to lock the doors and then he could take them out? I don't have answers to that. Boy, I'm full of no answers, right? Or I'm empty of answers, maybe is a better way to put it. But the jailer was awakened. I guess the earthquake woke him up. And fear overcame him. He saw the doors to the prison open. He knew that all the prisoners had left. That was customary. If you were in jail, the prison doors came open. Wouldn't you leave? Let me get out of here. I would. Wish I wouldn't, if I had the opportunity to witness to the jailer. But could we think that quick? Look at Paul. Maybe we can learn from what he did. He's overcome with fear. And he was ready to take his own life. Just about to do it. Because if he lost a prisoner, he must pay their penalty. So if they were facing death, he would have to be killed. Somebody was going to satisfy justice according to the earthly law. So he would be killed one way or another. Take his own life and kind of in secret, or be brought before the city and used as an example, embarrass his family and all. So he's taking his own life, though that would embarrass them too, would it not? But Paul, he didn't take his own life. Paul went to him and stopped him from killing himself. He said, don't, man. We're here. We're all here. And then the man said, well, what must I do to be saved? Now, was he thinking about saved eternally, or was he thinking about being saved from being blamed for the earthquake? Well, the prison was all there. He would not have to be killed or be subject to being killed to pay the penalty of those who escaped, because none had escaped. So it must have been that he was thinking about being saved eternally. Maybe before he went to sleep, he heard part of Paul and Silas's message through singing and praying. "What must I do to be saved?" he asked. And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." And then it says they spoke the word of the Lord to him and his household. And he was converted. You can see his action. He was a jailer who once flung them into the prison or thrust them into the prison. But when he trusted Jesus, his life was changed. He became a changed man. His action changed. His treatment of the prisoners changed. Isn't that what Christ does for us? When Jesus comes into our life, he changes us. He washed their wounds. Unheard of. For a jailer, jailers are supposed to be mean, right? Tough. He took them and washed their wounds. The jailer and his household were baptized. He fed them, the prisoners, in his own house, at least Paul and Silas. And the whole family turned to God. See, Lydia and her friends were already worshipers of God. These people, it indicates to me at least as I read it, that they were heathens. They were not even worshipers of God. But Paul was there. So through Paul, in his message about Jesus, or his singing and praying, they turned to God. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they turned to God. That's what Jesus does. He leads us to God, right? We can't get there by ourselves, but He's the one who paid the penalty for our sin on the cross, the sin that separates us from God. An exciting time, was it not? It turned out to be. Probably wasn't too exciting when they were being lashed with the cat of nine tails or whatever it was they were beaten with. But it was all because that the Apostle Paul responded to a dream. Paul responded to a dream. Now I'm asked often, what do you think of dreams? I think God still speaks to us in dreams. And I'll have a dream though, and I wake up and I can't remember what I dreamed. I just remember I had a dream. Now, maybe that's not a dream of God. Maybe it ate too much, whatever. But God can still speak to us in dreams, or in visions, or plants ideas. That's what the Spirit does. The Spirit of God. What's the point? I made a lot of suggestions. You can decide. Is it dreams? Listen to God through your dreams? Is it a call to follow the Spirit? Is it a call to practice hospitality? Or is it a call to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? 330 is the number of the song, and we'll sing it. We'll stand together. And maybe you have a public response that you'd like to make here in this altar area, right here in front of, as we say, God and everybody. As we stand together and sing 330, Only Trust Him. Let's sing the first and the last stanza. Thank you.
Sounds going to preach next Sunday, so make a special effort to come and hear the gospel from a different voice. Also, we're in need of a pianist for the first service, the 8 o'clock service next Sunday. If you're a pianist, you'll offer your services to Sam and you'll support that. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for salvation through Jesus Christ. And thank you for moving in our hearts like you did in the heart of Lydia, that we could believe and trust and look forward to that day when we will fly away and come and be with you. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. One announcement. Sherry Ladd, a young lady in Santa Fe, Tennessee, be ordained to the gospel ministry this afternoon. I'm going to participate in that service. She was ordained yesterday. She'll be installed as pastor at Swan today. I'm going to participate in that service this afternoon, the installation, and pray for Sherry if she enters a new era of her life. God bless you.
Thank you. this next Friday. I'm going to put the dividend on the next that line has to be amended. So I'm just kind of going through and trying to figure out what we need to do to get the money. I came across the email. And then I had to call up here and say, oh, my God. It's like a man in the
oh, no. I was fine, and I need to do some more applications.
Well, I'm sure you'll get one. What is that? I'm asking for what might be
one. I would love to teach a violin, but I'm actually going to be interested in presentation and conversation today. And I've had already an interview for me in that language for my 17th of teaching English. John, I used to teach my school in Virginia. I want now that substitute for everything. A long work heavy out of the classroom. That may be for more, like twice as much as most other classes. And I'm saying, I'm going to get my high school and then maybe go to that student or something over here. It's a different kind of energy. It's a little bit you need hands on movement energy, but then I'm just going to get with reading and English needs a lot of.
You have to be two steps ahead of the number.
Not all the time, any of them, but, you know, it's that reading. I mean, I don't really need to know the conversations, which I've always had a stack of paper to memorize. I can do it now with my kids. That's not really what I can do tomorrow, but my kids are finished now with my kids. That has to be all I have to do outside of classroom. That's what I take from my family. Oh, yeah. So, it's not that elementary is really difficult. But I love that. Most of the day, trying to teach them everything. So, you know, 150 kids a day, 45 minutes, and be expected to have them pass their grade by their family.
Exactly.
Yeah. Take a half year to teach them milk.
Well, exactly. Because you have so little time with them. So, little for elementary, but. How did you do now? She's got a new mama now, three kids, Lord. She's pretty good. What's she doing?
And the next one I can do is the first. frustrated with me to leave the scene. I knew it, but it's frustrating to me because of the kids. I don't know where the kids are. There's a lot of them. I'm flat down.
I don't know.
Don't be over my.